grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was last week that my wife and I took a mini vacation to take advantage of the Labor Day holiday. And as we were considering where we would go for our day and a half so of vacationing, we had a few things in mind. We wanted to go somewhere that was outside, but that wasn't too hot. Somewhere that was far enough away so it warrant staying overnight, but close enough so we could worship here in person with our Grace Church family last week on Sunday. And so we were considering where to go, and eventually we decided to go to the Petrified Forest National Park up in northeastern Arizona. And for those of you who have been there, who have seen the pictures, you know that there is a lot of really, really cool stuff to see. And we got everything in that we could within the 7-8 hours that we were there all together. But one of the things that's surprising among our mini vacation we took was not necessarily the stuff that we saw in the national park, but rather the incidental things that happened along the way and on the way back. Things that we didn't plan to include, but once we knew about them, we made sure that we included them. Things like the burn scar from the Telegraph, the Mescal fires just south of Globe, and seeing the charred tree trunks next to the greenery sprouting up right next to it. And now it's safe driving by, and we're very thankful for that. The Salt River Canyon on your way to Sholo, and you stop at the bottom where the little parking lot rest area is to look at God's wonderful creation and what the flood did in a matter of a year and 40 days of rain. But also, too, how we got to see things of American or human history. How it was the Wigwam Motel in Holbrook, Arizona, which served as the basis for the Cozy Cone Motel in the movie Cars. Or the standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, made famous in the hit song by the Eagles, Take It Easy. As we think about what we did for our day and a half of vacation, certainly we went there to go see the national park, but it was those incidental things that were also very encouraging, very cool to think about, to remember about. And in many ways, when we look at our verses this morning from Mark chapter 7, this miracle healing can seem rather incidental, something that just sort of happened and Jesus decided to do because the opportunity came up. We see Jesus on his journey. He's leaving the city of Tyre, which is way up north along the sea of the Mediterranean Sea, way, way far north of the Bible land. And he's making his way to Sidon, which is 20 miles north, and eventually making his way down to where we typically know the Sea of Galilee, specifically the eastern side, where the region of the Decapolis. And it's along this journey that what seems to us to be a very incidental opportunity. It presents itself to our Lord to heal a man who is deaf and essentially mute by saying the simple word Ephatha, which means to be open. It's in this account we see why our Savior came to this world. For our Savior did not simply come to say Ephatha to everybody with aches and pains and to help people with physical ailments, but rather he came to heal our sufferings, primarily our greatest suffering of all, that of sin, which it poses to us. And to do that, he had to be our promised Savior. But having completed his mission to be our promised Savior, so Jesus continues to do all things well as he heals us from all sorts of other sufferings by lessening the sufferings we endure in this world, and promising that eternal rest in heaven, where there will be no need to heal from sufferings because there simply won't be any suffering. When we look at this miracle account, we see that Jesus had intended to keep it a rather private affair. When he got to whatever in the region of the Decapolis, which was a pretty large area, by the way, on the eastern side of the Jordan River, it's there that he took the man aside before he would heal him, and use a number of nonverbal languages specifically to communicate with the man, but also to keep things a little bit quiet, so you'd only know what was happening if you were watching Jesus touch this man's ears and spit and touch this man's tongue. After he spoke the word Ephatha, the Aramaic word for to be opened, we then see Jesus give strict orders to the crowd that they are to remain quiet, to keep this on the down low. And yet the crowds could not stay quiet. They told everybody about what they had seen, what they had saw witness, and they made sure that this account was very well known. And ironically enough, because this account has been preserved in Scripture, it will stand to the end of time. It will be known by all of God's people for us to read, to learn, and to grow in, and to have entire sermons on as well. But see, there's a few reasons why Jesus wanted to keep this miracle quiet. One was because of what happened the last time he was in this region in the Decapolis, when he got turned away by the people he came to preach and to help, when he exercised the demon legion into that swine, into that herd of pigs. And they were too scared of what was going on that they wanted Jesus to get out of there. Among these Jewish, or among these Greek cities, was a certain Jewish minority. As often was the case, there was a misunderstanding about who the Messiah was supposed to be. Thinking him to be a political leader, to kick out the Romans and to start up a brand new version of Israel, like the glory days of Israel, to make it back on the map and to make it great once again. But there is also Jesus, who wanted to direct the people's attention to why he truly came. So that people would come to hear him say, "You're forgiven. You're going to heaven," instead of "Ephatha, be opened." We Christians today can also forget why Jesus truly came to this world. Or perhaps when we call out to him, we forget the most important reason why we should be calling out to him. Maybe it's because we're like those in the Decapolis who brought that deaf and mute man to Jesus because they realized that there was no other hope. We look to Jesus when all else has failed. People do this normally anyways, that when life hits a speed bump and does not go according to plan, we naturally look up to God. And who among us hasn't done that, especially since March of 2020? Look up to God even more so than what we did beforehand. But what happens when that problem gets fixed? Or when that crisis goes away? We often fall back to what was the case beforehand. To look to God only when we need him for help, or to forget about him entirely, to also include him in our gifts of thanks and praise for all that he has done for us. Or maybe we can look to our Savior Jesus in the way that those who have a misunderstanding of the Messiah, as someone we go to help us realize our dreams, to make us feel complete and happy and fulfilled. It's true, we can learn a lot from Jesus, from his masterful teaching, his exemplary lifestyle, but when we make him simply a manual of how to live so we get what we want, or some kind of self-help guru, we forget what he's all truly about. Why he came to this world, to be our promised Savior from sin, to forgive us of our sins, not to simply help people once in a while with their physical problems in this world. Because you see, it is this heavenly-minded primary purpose that Jesus had in mind, that he came to this world not to help and to heal as many people as possible, but to heal us from our greatest suffering of all, from sin itself. And he did that by sticking to his mission to be our Savior. He turned on all the adoration, all the accolades that he could have gotten from the crowds of the miraculously healed to be everybody's best friend and favorite person. Also that he could be betrayed by one of his 12 closest friends and condemned by the very community of people that he was raised in. He put his divine power aside to submit to the unjust and the pagan Roman rule instead of reinstating Israel to be a glorious country once again, another country on a map. Jesus, how he arranged all his travel plans throughout the Decapolis and everywhere else so they would bring him to Jerusalem at the appointed time to do what the Messiah was prophesied to do. Be nailed to the cross, sacrifice himself to pay the price for each and every sin. To say it simply, Jesus came to this world not to say Ephatha, but to say you're forgiven, that you're going to heaven. And it's because he has completed his mission that he indeed says that to you and to me, as he heals us from the sickness of sin that we all suffer from. Don't get me wrong, this account in Mark's gospel is strictly about a physical healing of a man who was once deaf and mute and now was all good to go. But there are some parallels that we can draw between this physical healing and how our Savior also heals us from our sickness of sin. As this deaf and mute man could not heal himself, so neither can we heal ourselves of sin. We contract it at conception. We're symptomatic of sin our entire lives, and we will suffer its 100% mortality rate unless our Savior comes back first. And there is no treatment, there is no cure, there is no vaccine to lessen its effects or to get rid of sin. As this deaf and mute man found his healing in Jesus alone, so do we. All of our sins have been paid for on that cross, including the sins of when we forget to why our Savior came to this world, or we call out to him for something other than what he truly came to do. Our guilt and our shame before our God has been gone away for good. And indeed, Jesus has said to himself, has said to us personally, that you are forgiven, that you are going to heaven. Words that remain yours as long as your faith remains in him for why he came. To heal you from your greatest suffering of all, from sin itself. But our Savior just doesn't help us with sin. He heals us from other sufferings as well. As we look at this, what seems to be a rather incidental miracle account, we also see how God's gracious love brings him to say Ephatha, as he heals us in so many other ways. As God, Jesus knew that this miracle was going to happen before he even left the city of Tyre. And he knew just how public it was going to get, and that was going to be recorded in Scripture for us to have sermons about today. And as God, Jesus knew that this miracle was not going to detract from his mission to be our promised Savior. And so when the opportunity presented itself, Jesus said the word Ephatha, to heal this man, to restore him to full health, enable him to work for a living once again, and to give him a wonderful story to share at every family reunion in the local watering hole that no one could even begin to compare to. It's in this miracle that we see just how gracious our God's love for us is. For not only has he secured our salvation, but indeed he goes the extra mile, as he helps us with so many of our troubles and sufferings in this world here. Whenever we talk about Jesus' healing power, it's always good to review what God has and has not promised. Our Lord has not promised us that we will have a life that is free from pain and suffering. In fact, he said the very opposite, that we are to expect trials and tribulations of all different kinds. And we here at Grace are no exception to that. Look in the quarterly report when it comes out, and you'll see how your pastors regularly visit our members who are in the hospital or bound in their homes because of physical ailments, pains, and suffering. Consider your own life or those of your brothers and sisters who are worshiping with you here or online. And we know that life is not easy. But our Lord has not abandoned us to suffer alone, or to simply find company with the misery around us. He, in fact, shows us his gracious love to alleviate and lessen our sufferings in this world in a number of ways that he chooses to do. For just as the deaf and mute man found God's gracious love given to him, so we find it how our Lord heals us today. And certainly we don't expect that to happen in miracle healings. If so, that would be great and wonderful. But that's not how God typically works nowadays. But he does work through others to train professionals and medical means to do the things that were once considered impossible from even 100 years ago. He stands beside our bedside with his comforting presence, assuring us of his promises and his blessings that will never, ever go away. It is because of Jesus' gracious love for us that he goes the extra mile in St. Ephatha as he helps us with all of our different trials and tribulations in this world here until the day comes when we see the salvation has been won for us in full and we are free from all sufferings for all time because there will be no more sufferings when we enter heaven itself. Because you see, when we look at this rather incidental miracle, we also see an example of how true it is that our Savior has done everything well. And when it comes to healing our sufferings, there is no exception. When the opportunity presented itself for Jesus to heal a man who was deaf and essentially mute, Jesus spoke the word Ephatha. Although he did not come to this world to speak Ephatha to help every single person with aches and pains, he did come here to heal us from our greatest suffering of all, that of sin, by being the promised Savior that we need so much. And then not just simply being our Savior, but assuring us that forgiveness of each and every time we sin against him to renew us in his healing grace. But it's also our Savior who says Ephatha. And gracious love for us as he helps us in a number of our problems today, working through others and medical means to help us in all sorts of ways that are once impossible, but also to giving us his power, his promises and his blessings to assure us that he will be with us, healing our sufferings in this world with a promise of eternal healing and no more suffering at all to come in the future. It's with all this in mind, I pray that we look at this incidental Ephatha miracle to see our Savior's gracious love for us who heals us in our sufferings of all different kinds now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.